Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
So, I am on testosterone. As you get into your 60s, testing shows that your testosterone levels are lower. My doctor, who's one of the best in the world, quite frankly, also performed a procedure on my prostate because I was having issues there. And he put in a device called Urolith, which changed that dramatically. My point is very assertive and very aggressive about making sure that's okay. My testosterone level is okay, but I'm in my 60s. There's no way in hell when I'm in my 30s or 30 that this was an issue for anyone my age. And so that's why it alarms me when Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, says there's going to be a new screening program for testosterone deficiency among troops 30 years and older, calling it necessary to allow them to operate at their absolute best. Listen to Hegseth.
We must constantly look for new ways to optimize your performance, your resilience, and your long-term health. And to meet that commitment today, I'm authorizing a new screening program for testosterone deficiency for our service members, ensuring you have the right testosterone levels to operate at your absolute best. Because it's well-established science that as we age, testosterone levels often naturally drop. Under the supervision of our world-class medical professionals, warfighters age 30 and older are going to be tested annually as part of their periodic health assessment. It's a health assessment that happens every year. We're just adding this test.
Based on what? For 30-year-olds in the military. This is that testosterone boosts me up, makes me macho thing that scares me and has doctors who know this better than anyone in the world a bit concerns about the right information getting to people. He's not political at all. He's just a genius and probably the best in the world at this. My doctor, Dr. Frank Costa, who's the guru when it comes to anything involving this. He's a surgeon, urologist. Good morning, doctor. Thanks for taking your time this morning. This is important stuff, isn't it, sir?
Yes, very much so, Marty. Thank you for the opportunity. It's a very timely discussion. Interestingly, I just came back from two conferences in the past 6 weeks, one in Washington, D.C., where's our National Urology Conference Convention, and one in Chicago a couple of weeks ago that dealt specifically with urologists that have a special interest in andrology, which is really the study of hormonal issues in men, particularly, and very select few people within our specialty that are interested in this because it's a much more thought-provoking type of specialty that really lends itself to being very detailed in the evaluation of patients that do have some testosterone deficiency. But just to be more precise and address your concerns, interestingly, Marty, there is evidence, good scientific evidence, which is actually observational data, that testosterone levels have declined in young men, and particularly in the Western Hemisphere where we're able to have that information compared to several decades ago. Not only are the testosterone levels declined, but also sperm quantity of sperm and sperm function has declined in young populations of men, which may have been one of the reasons that Mr. Hegseth may have.
I know, Doc, but you're one of the premier docs in the world in this stuff. Come on, man. The number of men that you prescribe testosterone to who are 30 and younger is small, isn't it, sir?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Nobody, again, I'm not stating that that's the case. As a matter of fact, most men, as you know, have decreasing levels of testosterone that proceed with age. You can lose up to 1% per year of testosterone starting from age 35. And then up to 3% per year once you reach age of 50 and beyond. Yeah, but actually, I will tell you, I had a patient that came in just 2 weeks ago. He's 26 years old, and he was getting testosterone over the internet. He stated that he had a low testosterone level without ever seeing a doctor. And that's, you know, one of the problems is that
they actually... Hold on. I hate to interrupt you, but this is why you're so good at this. This is what scares me. You got every idiot with a faux spa and 18-year-old girls passing out testosterone like it's candy to save 25-year-old men who are weightlifters. That's dangerous, isn't it, sir?
Yeah. Well, it certainly is inappropriate and can be dangerous, particularly as it relates to the lack of knowledge as to what the effects of manipulation of these hormones can cause. But again, it gets down to just basic, good old-fashioned medicine, having a good physician that actually does a very deep, detailed analysis, examining the patient, looking to see if there's any evidence of any hormonal abnormality by doing a physical examination, checking the testicles, making sure there's no issues in the brain. Right, there's a gland in the brain called the pituitary gland that actually is very important for secreting the hormones that then stimulate the testes to produce testosterone in men, which produces about 95% of the testosterone, and also the adrenal gland produces about 5% of androgen. So, and the alarming reaction you're having is certainly warranted because, again, as I mentioned, it's really important to understand the possible factors that are contributing to this. And I believe that, first of all, again, if we're keeping this discussion to people in the military or population in general, it can be a couple of the things. But just to give you just a general overall view of bird's eye view of what's going on, for instance, in the military, there could be several factors that contribute. First of all, you'd like to know what it is going in and had there been any predisposing factors, either medically or based on their history that may have contributed, if in fact that was detected at the time of admission into their military service. And as I recall, based on my research, we're talking about, you know, just with men, which consists of about 85% of our military population is male. So yes, we'll keep this discussion just focused on that. But once they do, one of the issues that prior to military service that many people can be influenced by is simple things like chronic obesity, poor diet, nice, poor sleep patterns, nice, environmental toxins, use of drugs, you know, like marijuana or any other street drugs, excessive use of even over-the-counter drugs, not sleeping properly, not exercising or not exercising properly, spending too much time playing video games instead of being active. At least when I was young, you know, we used to be part of our curriculum in grade schools was to have gym class and to be active.
Hey, Dr. Frank Costa, one of the best urologists in the world, quite frankly, he's renowned for this, and actually is the man who said, look, Marty, you need some testosterone. Sir, does it make sense to you to mass test 30-year-olds in the military and prescribe them testosterone, sir? Does that make sense?
No. What makes sense to me is if a patient, whether he's in the military or not, demonstrates the signs of low testosterone, which can also be due to other causes. You know, you have to check their thyroid, you have to check their heart, you have to check their lungs. You know, it's not as simple as just all of a sudden checking testosterone levels in young patients or young men, but it can exist. That's why what I stated previously, it gets back to the art of medicine, being able to actually sit down, talk to a patient, and validate what their symptoms are. Because are other things. Yeah.
It made a tremendous difference in me. So when should a patient come to you and say, I'm kind of lethargic, I can't do this or that anymore? Maybe it's testosterone. When should they come to you, sir?
Well, if a patient has first of all, really, it should start from the time they see their pediatrician, not for checking testosterone, but there are cases where you have undefended testicles or you have hormonal imbalances related to either chromosomal abnormalities or other issues that have to do with thyroid or adrenal glands. So a good pediatrician would be able to detect those very rare cases where there could be some implications that need to be evaluated by a pediatric endocrinologist. But let's go past those because those are very rare. When you get into puberty, there are changes. That's when, you know, a boy becomes a man because of the hormonal changes that occur, and there should be the appropriate evaluation, again, by the pediatrician to assess things like a normal development of their genitals, any distribution of hair, size of the testicles, which is also important to check for any testicular tumors, because those are more prevalent in young men as opposed to old men, and also to see if, in fact, that the simple basic things, nutrition, exercise, sleep, obesity, you know, I just saw a statistic the other day that I thought I was actually kind of shocked, because I used to think it was 50% of our population that was obese. Now some of the new data indicates it's closer to 70%. And obesity is known to actually impair the hormonal balance, because there is a there's an enzyme in the fat cells called aromatase, which converts testosterone to estrogen. So it's not just the testosterone level, and a lot of physicians don't realize this. It's the balance and the ratio of testosterone to estrogen. And when you're younger, that ratio is very, very tight. There should be a much higher level of testosterone compared to estrogen. And as you get older, those levels, that fraction gets a little narrower. Usually it's 50 to 60 to 1. And as you get older, it can get as low as 10 or 20 to 1.
Doctor?
So these are, you know, these are complex evaluations that have to be done. It's not simply a matter of checking your testosterone level and giving testosterone. In that sense,
right,
I agree with you 100%.
Boom.
However, the other thing is this too, Marty, that nobody very mentions very often. When you give testosterone to young men, it's important to educate that the young man, that you can impair their fertility, because if you give testosterone to increase the levels, that can shut off your own production in the gland called the pituitary gland, which sits in the center of the brain, and then can be shut off so that your own production is diminished. There's ways to improve the test.
It's really important stuff. It's so important. Love you, man. Thank you, Doc. Really important.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Life-saving, literally, life-saving, life-changing information, UPMC. The Hegseth macho manly crap gets on my last friggin' nerve. It does, man. I've been around those guys my whole life. You want to kick their ass. His whole thing about testosterone, and I wanted the doc on because he's renowned about it. You heard what he said. No. Come on, man. What happens is with testosterone is my son is 15 and a half, and he hears about this crap because bodybuilders get into this crap and human growth hormone and creatine and all this stuff to enhance their performance, which is, if you read the context and what Hegseth's talking about, he wants to create these badass fighting machines. Stop. What annoys me about him is he acts like we all sucked until he came along and he saved us and made us manly. He disrespects women. He can't stand anyone that calls him out. He fires anyone that he wants to. And then he puts pictures of his skinny ass lifting weights and doing bench presses with soldiers like he's in special forces or something. Spare me. He's a TV guy. with slick back hair in bespoke suits. Spare me. Honestly, ma'am. Only because I've spent my life around probably the strongest leaders of men in history in the military, and they can't stand him. They want to choke his ass. You know why? He's a know-it-all. Arrogant, pompous TV jackass. Who Trump has empowered because Trump likes to be around cool guys. Come on, man. And so he comes out yesterday and says, we're going to start testing all the 30-year-olds and jack them up on testosterone. No. No. I don't care if you like him. He's been disastrous to men that I know who have served their entire lives in the military, and then when he comes in the room, they want to barf on their friggin' boots. We kill everyone. We kill you. We kill all. We destroy all. We're jacked up on testosterone. Watch me lift weights. Stop. Stop. I find it to be aggravating, as you can probably tell. I've spent my whole life in media, TV, radio, you name it, and I've loved the business, and I've been blessed. Wow, Patrick showing that fire. Is that on our stream, Patrick? That fire she was talking about, it is a hell of a fire in the parkway. Not to jump off topic here, but Ellen was right, wasn't she, Patrick? Look at that. Whoa. Where is that, man?
That is 79 near Wexford.
Whoa. Is that foam?
They're spraying foam.
It's on the stream right now.
Yeah, this is live from the PennDOT cameras, Mingo Road.
Great call by Ellen. And am I wrong? I can't see it that well, my man, because I'm an idiot. But is it
looks
shut
like
down?
Two cars.
Both
lanes?
Yeah,
looks like two cars collided, and it looks like a white Jeep. Mm. It was on fire moments ago.
And looks like they're foaming it out, but have they shut down both lanes? Is that what I'm seeing?
I can't tell exactly.
Oh, wow. Ellen's nailing it. It's on the exit ramp from southbound 79 to Wexford. So that will be shut down until they get this out of the way. Wow. All right. Thanks, brother. Patrick, do you have a testosterone treatment? I'm not trying to get into your personal life, but do you? Because I do.
No, I do get mine tested, though, with my annual physical.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't had any low T issues, so no treatments there.
You're still young. Rob, go ahead. Thanks for your patience.
Yeah, Marty, thou don't protest too much, man.
No.
Like, visceral reaction to Pete Hegseth. Now, hold on a minute. You know, because you know a couple guys that don't like Pete Hegseth.
No, I know a lot of people. I can't stand them. You can love them all you want. Get them to sign a poster of you. And you can send him your testosterone test. Actually, send him a picture of you injecting it, and he'll be so proud of you. Or maybe re-enlist to the military, which he considers to be a bunch of wimps, until he can jack them up on testosterone at 30 years old and destroy them.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
I got to wrap up this Hegg Seth crap, but I got a great guess, but hang in there for that. But this Hegg Seth idiot. And I'm going to tell you why. I don't come up with these ideas about Hegg Seth. My friends in the military with insane backgrounds, Colonel Jeff McCausland, West Point, taught at West Point, served 12 years in battle. Yeah, something no one understands. Various assignments. He was a commander during Operation Desert Storm. He was in the National Security Council. Taught leadership at a multitude of colleges. He wanted to choke and wants to choke Hegg Seth for his poser, obnoxious, arrogant ignorance about military service and leadership and greatness. I don't make this stuff up. Give everybody some testosterone. That'll help. Ah, it irritates me. You can love them all you want. Get a poster. Put it over your bed. The punk. He's that frat guy you wanted to choke when you went to the frat parties in college. You know that guy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Well, I never joined a frat. Didn't have to pay for my friends. All right, I'm done. Let's go from ignorance to greatness. I love this story because this guy, Steven Krause, was an athlete. Insane athlete. So he's doing push-ups one morning. He would do up to 450 at a time. Starts to feel funny. Seriously, he has a stroke where they saved his life at UPMC. And he's doing something really cool today, and I wanted to bring him in here to talk about, number one, you have a tragedy like that that sets you back, because I have many times. You don't lie there and give up. You don't get depressed or down. You come back, and you come back stronger. And that's what my man Steve has done. Good morning, Steve. How are you, brother?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
You're kicking ass. Are you not, Steve?
Yeah, it's...
Huh?
What a difference a year makes. You know, a year ago tomorrow, like you said, I was doing some push-ups in my living room. I started feeling funky in my left hand. Wow. And I was like, something's not right. And I went to pick up my coffee mug, and my hand didn't work.
Wow.
So I knew right then and there something was different. Something was wrong. It wasn't numb. It wasn't painful. It didn't hurt. It just didn't work.
Wow.
So at that moment, I woke my wife up and I said, I think we need to go to the emergency room. I think I'm having a stroke.
Wow.
And so this happened at 5:30 in the morning.
Wow.
We live about 4 miles from the hospital. We didn't call an ambulance. We just hopped in the car and went. And
Steve, how old were you at the time?
I was 47 at the time.
Whoa.
47.
Damn.
I have done a full Ironman. I've done 100-mile trail races.
Wow.
I've rode my bike from Erie to Philadelphia, you know, so I've done demanding things. So when this is happening, I'm like, this isn't happening to me, right? Like this is something that happens to other people. But sure enough, it was happening to me.
Wow, Steve. Steve, so I've kind of been down the road with cancer, and I was just actually in ICU with pneumonia and sepsis. So I kind of been on the edge like you have. If I'm correct, quick treatment with a stroke is vital, is it not?
Time is of the essence, you know. So the type of stroke that I had a little blood clot that lodged itself in my brain. I refer to it as like a game of Plinko from Price is Right. You know, that blood clot bounced around.
Wow.
And ran, you know, landed itself in that spot of the brain that affected my left hand and whatnot. The longer your brain is without blood supply, the more damage that can happen, the more permanent the damage is. So when I recognized things that were happening, I was like, we need to get to the emergency room right away. And so, like I said, my symptoms start at 5:30. By 6:50, an hour and 20 minutes later, they had the clot-busting drug in me, and
whoa,
I was on the road to healing.
Well, and this is UPMC Hammett?
This is UPMC Hammett, yes.
And my man, you were doing what today? This is crazy. I kind of buried the lead. Tell people what you're doing today.
So I am going to be riding my bicycle from UPMC Hammett to UPMC Mercy Pavilion in Pittsburgh.
Come on, man.
It is a 140-mile bike ride with 7,500 feet of elevation gain. And I'm doing this as a thank you to the doctors, the nurses, the staff, to create an awareness for stroke symptoms. And then to just say, hey, look what a difference a year ago makes. You know, it's going to be challenging. It's going to be difficult.
Wow.
But just like you said earlier, it's like, I'm not going to use this as an excuse.
No, man.
I'm not going to have a pity party. No. I am going to get out there and just, this is what I'm capable of doing, and I'm going to do it.
Man, I love this story, brother. Help me with something, though. They're kind of scary that you were so young to have a stroke. Did they nail it down to anything?
So the common question that I have received over the past year is like, hey, if you've had a stroke, what chances do we have?
Yeah.
And the reality of it is the stroke is, they call it a cryptogenic stroke, meaning they don't know where it came from. They don't know why I had it, but I had it. And so the good thing is, because of my lifestyle, I was able to recover quicker. You know, my body was, you know, was more efficient to heal and recover and such. So that we don't know why it happened. You know, it wasn't because my blood vessels were, you know, coated with, you know, plaque. It wasn't because of cholesterol. It wasn't because of blood pressure. It was a weird fluke thing. And this is what I have to tell everybody. It's like just because you're fit, just because you're young, doesn't mean you can't have a life experience. You know, life happens, and we just have to be prepared to be able to handle it when it happens to us.
Are you 100% back? 100%?
Yeah, so the only residual I would say I have is if I'm very tired, my left hand's a little bit on the weak side, so it's harder to do pull-ups. But other than that, you know, you look at me and you wouldn't know that I had a stroke a year ago. And again, it's a testament to the quality care, the stroke team at UPMC. They did a phenomenal job.
Saved my life like six times. I'm with you, brother.
Yeah.
Wow. My man.
Yeah.
How long is this going to take you to 140 miles?
So I have it budgeted for 12 hours. Wow. So I'll depart Erie at 5:30 in the morning, and the goal is to get to UPMC Pavilion, Mercy Pavilion, by 5:30 p.m. And that includes ride time and rest stops
and snacks.
But the good news is I got a tailwind coming out of Erie, so I might be able to get there a little bit sooner. So the smoke that's in the air right now might play a little bit of a factor, but you know, I'm forging ahead, and we're going to get this ride done. So I can't thank the staff at UPMC enough.
I love it, man. I love the story. I love your heroics. I love that you didn't quit. I love that you're spreading the word. I love that you're back. And if people don't know what the hell an Iron Man is, it's insane. Tell people what an Iron Man is, brother. Tell them.
So an Iron Man is, you swim 2.5 miles, and then you hop on a bicycle, and you ride 112 miles. And then you hop off the bicycle, and then you run a marathon.
Sure you do.
All at one time, you know. So took me 14 and a half hours to do so up in Lake Placid, New York.
Wow.
And it is quite the feat. But, again, it's just I want to highlight that.
I love it.
Just because you've had a health setback, and it doesn't matter what the health setback
is.
I
love it, man.
You can overcome it. You can come back, and you can modify. You can adapt. But, again, the resilience of the human spirit is an amazing thing.
You're my man. I love you, man. It's a great story. Appreciate you telling the truth, man, and staying strong. Love it.
I appreciate you taking the time.
All right, my man. I love that guy. Wow. Hell yeah. Perseverance. Wow. That is so cool. The guy's ripped. I'm seeing the video Patrick found. Wow. Stop with the Hegseth stuff. You know, love him all you want, man. Ask for a photograph of him in a bathing suit if you want. or with him with camo on his face. He's a phony. Every military guy I know. I know you macho men like him, and I know I'm not as macho as you. But one of my boys who I trust in my life, who's a doc, who says this. It looks like our Secretary of War thinks that enhancing testosterone levels in the military will create more aggressive and confrontational troops. Yeah, this is thing. We'll kill you. Okay. As if all the other troops before were morons and wimps. Uh-huh. It's a horrible invasion of privacy. Raises three questions. What happens to men who are below Hegseth baseline level? I don't know. What about women? They don't have testosterone. I have no idea, but it scares the hell out of me. It just does. He's a goof. He's one of these guys. He watches too many of those Karate Kid movies. Cobra Kai. Spent my life around military guys. And you know, I tell you, I became very close with Jeff McCausland, and the guy was in battle. He led men in battle. He was in the National Security Council. He was in the White House with the president, planning. Hegseth demeans men and women who have served in the military their whole lives. He presents the military now as weak and wimpy. He's going to macho them up. Go away. Man, we've been kicking ass, my man's 100 years before you were born with your silly bespoke suits and slick back hair. He was fine as a TV guy who made stuff up at Fox or any other network. I could care less. But when you put him in power, and Trump likes to be around those guys, you know, is he good looking? He talks about, and Pete doesn't want to end the war. He wants to kill more people. That I'd be proud of that too. I like a guy that wants to kill more people. Mm-hmm. When American men and women are in peril and dying alongside them, it disgusts me. So you know. And the testosterone thing set me up because we're kind of in this weird phase in America where everybody thinks that they can shoot up and lose weight and be okay and it won't take away muscle mass. And they think they can shoot up and gain weight and get big and ornery and testosterone filled and enraged and kill everybody. A lot more to it than that. And there are a significant amount, millions of great men and women who served this country long before Hegseth told them they were losers. And that in particular troubles me a great, great deal. So you know.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.